and marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day
92.
Getting there. Week 14. How is everybody? Let me know in the chat. Let me get the chat up first. It's too hot, Mike.
It is too hot.
I've been asking you to deal with this all day. It's hideous. And I've had to move the fan on the floor, so I'm not exactly in the best frame of mind. But it's the dog's birthday, and she's having a great day, isn't she?
She is.
Oh, spoilt rotten. What time was her first walk this morning? That's my spray to keep me cool. It might sound like fly spray, but it's not. You overslept, though, unless that was deliberate.
That was deliberate.
Did the clock go off at 5?
No, I woke up and I changed it from 5 till 6. But I got up. No, I was going to change it till 6:30. But I think I got up at 5:50 or something.
And should we frighten them to death?
Yes.
I was up.
Yes.
Awake.
Scary beans.
Ah, but you know what they're going to think, don't you?
No.
They're going to think I haven't gone to bed. But I had. Had a slight financial crisis, didn't I, about 1:30 in the morning?
Mm.
There I was, all poised to make a purchase. Check the PayPal balance. Yep, going in, no problem. To find out, didn't take PayPal. Issue with that? Yes, I had no idea what the balance was on the credit card we use online. So I looked at the clock and I thought, going to have to go to bed. Now you're wondering, aren't you? What on earth difference did this make? You could just get up today. I could, but it all had to be sorted out by midnight Pacific time, which is 8 a.m. in the UK. So I sent Mike an email. I said, can you get me up at 7:30?
They said, important.
Yes, it's not a crisis, but... So that was fine. Thing was, as he got out of bed, so did I. And do you know what? It was scary for you, wasn't it, Mike? Because I was wide awake and you weren't.
I wasn't.
Oh, he was all... Which credit card? He was all over the place. Oh, dear. Anyway, it was all sorted out, purchase made, and back to bed I went. And the rest of the day... hideously warm. We had the darkest clouds I think I've ever seen in daytime. And I thought, this is it. We got a rumble of thunder. I thought, yes, it's coming. It's going to break and it's going to be a lot less oppressive. And that was it. It stopped. And it's now warmer than it was before.
Greetings from rainy Seattle, home of civil unrest.
There's a lot of that going around, Kim. Yeah. Hello, Kim. Oh, dear. Yes, today is the day... they've let the rest of the Muppets out in the UK.
I just feel sorry for Kiva having a bath.
Poor Kiva. She looked so woebegone. I actually did make a suggestion to you, didn't I? I said, I wonder if Lola would like to get the paddling pool out.
Mm.
And you just looked as though she's a Samoyed. No, she's not going to want to get wet.
No.
Yes, the other half of the Muppets. The official line is, stay at home. Now, how they equate that with we're opening the shops, I don't know. But I can't think of anything that's that critical that you would need to go to the shops for.
Well, when you think of what shops are open, like Primark.
Primark are open. I mean, joy. But the queues are honestly 5 miles long. And I'm thinking, is this what it's come to? I mean, I'm taking this as a national IQ test, and so far, anybody who's stood in a queue fails miserably as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, look, they've got the equivalent of an unboxing. It's an out-of-story opening.
Crying out loud. But Primark, they only sell clothes.
Oh, there's Chicken.
Hello, Chicken! She's downstairs. She was naughty today, actually, wasn't she?
Oh, Chicken.
No, Lola. She got a treat, a Jumbone treat. If you haven't seen a Jumbone, we can send photos. She'd had another treat. She wandered off with the Jumbone. Now, I didn't give her the Jumbone. I gave her the other one.
They're taking temperatures here.
Yes, I know, on the way in. I saw the Apple store. Yes, that's invasive. Not happening here. Then I passed the IQ test and I'm staying at home. I am still marooned and quite happy to be so. When the second wave comes, as I keep saying, they can enjoy it without me. Oh, now we've got idiots tooting as well. So, we goes outside and Mike said, oh, she's eaten that treat. Fair enough. We then go downstairs. Got some fantastic pictures of her in the garden, enjoying her birthday. I moved the mat. No, she hadn't eaten it. She'd buried it underneath the mat. Naughty girl. But not quite as naughty as Kiva, I feel. Not yet. The day is young yet, Kim. CQ, Deb, CQ.
Maximum two people in the lift, unless family members. But lifts aren't 2 metres in size, are they?
No.
No.
The whole thing's a farce. There's something doing the rounds on Facebook and it says, you know, the shops aren't opening because it's safe. They're opening for the economy. So stay out of them, basically. Which works well for me. But to just see these queues is like, is anybody that desperate for a T-shirt? I mean, what do Primark... Do you know, Mike, I've never set foot in a Primark. Yeah. Mind you, I don't really do shops full stop, do I? But no, I have never set foot in a Primark. But I have, on good authority, they sell clothes. This is probably why I've never set foot in it.
Isn't that a Primark where we got the fancy dress gear from?
What fancy dress gear?
For the first Catania
weekend. Oh, was it? Was that Matalan? No, it was Matalan.
I get the two confused.
It was Matalan. Don't tell me that I've actually been in a Primark. No, I haven't. It was Matalan. They're one and the same. They sell cheap clothes. But the fact that there's so many people in the queue is unbelievable. And if you've got there on public transport, today's the day. Today's the day in the UK you cannot use public transport unless you are wearing a face covering. Notice I did not say mask. Basically anything will do. Did you see that picture of that woman, Mike?
Which woman?
There was a woman going to Primark. Let me see if I can find it. And not only did she have a mask on, she had a full hazmat suit. Which made me wonder,
I think I did.
Was it that desperate that she actually went to Primark?
I think I did.
See if you can find it. Let's post it in. People are barking. Barking mad. Oh, and the other thing that opened today was the zoos. Poor animals. They've had peace and quiet for all these weeks. Now they're stood in there thinking, why is everybody wearing a mask? So Kim says she doesn't like standing in line to begin with, let alone with COVID in there. Totally agree. This thing was Central Manchester, which I think is... it's in the old Lewis's building, the Primark.
Oh, talking Manchester, you know what day it is?
Go on.
24 years.
Manchester bomb?
Yeah.
I remember what we were up to that day.
Yeah, taking a computer back.
We were, yeah. Let me see if I can find this, if I do local and then go to Manchester. Oh, hang on, local news, just a minute. There's more bad news, actually, in the UK at the minute. Is this Manchester?
People have been gathering to have sex in broad daylight.
Sorry? Say that. No, actually, don't say that again. Why would people...
I was walking through the bottom wood on the Chorlton side by the water sewage plant, and I was shocked to see two people having sex. Sale Water Park.
Oh, please.
A man was walking his dog on June the 11th in Sale Water Park when he claims he saw two people behaving inappropriately in the middle of the path. No, Lola.
Oh, dear.
What?
You know this business with the statues?
Yeah.
It's all gone hideously pear-shaped over here. Basically, what's happened... We're at this point where there was the statue that was ripped out in Bristol has caused other statues to either be removed deliberately to be taken to museums or boarded up. But there are other statues that are on private property. And the one at Dunham's been removed, Mike. Do you know what's actually scary with that?
No.
I mean, looking at it, I can understand people may... I mean, I don't know... It looks like a sundial. But, I mean, it's not... Have you ever seen that?
I think I've noticed it.
Do you know I haven't?
No.
I have been there many, many times and I have never actually clocked that. You're right, I have no idea why. But I can see why they're removing that. Does it really take this to get the job done, though?
Yeah.
I'll put this one in as well, because I can understand why people would find that one offensive. I must never get that money box out, Mike. My gran bought me a money box when I was a kid. Oh, what was it called? Sammy money box. And it was a known thing, but it was like, it was from the shoulders up and it had a hand and you put money in it. And then at the back of the thing, you push this button and the hand lifted up and the money went in the mouth and the money stayed in the inside of it. I think it actually needed a screwdriver to dismantle it. So as a child, I used to put money in it. And then when it came to holiday time, that was my holiday money. The thing was, by the standards today, it was like a black face, like a black and white minstrel. It would be wholly inappropriate. So I know exactly where that is, Mike. It's in that cupboard behind your desk. Let's leave it in there before we cause offence to anybody. No, it's been chaotic today. It's been far too hot. People have been going out. They are supposed to be wearing face coverings, but it's too hot to wear the face coverings. In the meanwhile, they are ripping statues down or basically blocking them in a kind of sarcophagus thing, as if it's Chernobyl. So they've done that with the Winston Churchill statue in London. And in other news, there was a fighter jet took off. I think it was on an exercise and that crashed. And we'd actually been to the, what would you call it? The base, RAF Lakenheath, which is down the country and to the east. And we'd been because my dad loved that kind of thing. So when we were down there, he said, let's go to Lakenheath. Honestly, he said, it's not far. It must have been about 80 miles out of our way. But we decided to humour him. But when we got there, it was worth going because they actually were doing manoeuvres with the stealth fighter. Oh, it was an amazing thing to see. Well, unfortunately, this thing took off from there and then crashed shortly later. But they've literally just announced in the last 10 minutes that the pilot didn't make it, which is quite surprising because they've got ejector seats, haven't they?
Yeah.
So heaven knows what went wrong with that. So that's all over the news as well. Yes, it's been a weird old day. Oh, and did you hear about the child that got shot? This is so unusual in this country because we have a zero tolerance for guns. So heaven knows where the weapon came from. But a child actually got shot and it missed the artery by 1 millimetre. And by some miracle, the child survived. But coming on top of that thing that you said yesterday, you know, the one with the 6,000 people and somebody OD'd and three got stabbed and one got raped. Yeah, that day. That's still rumbling on as well. It's been chaotic.
Well, that was up here, wasn't it?
It was. There was part of that was about a mile and a half from us. And the news, and it says local and it says to sale, it was Carrington, although there are no pictures of that one, which is strange. But you should, I'll put the link in. You should just look at these photos. And these are people who are saying that they are eco-warriors. Yeah, right. Just look at the state that they left the place in. And somebody's got to tidy that up. And when you're thinking, and COVID's rife, these people are insane. But I'm hoping by now, you know, Mike, that we've worked out who would never pass an IQ test if they lived to be a million. And it's not us. We're still marooned. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And there's a lot of posts as well about what I learnt during lockdown. Well, hello, it's not actually being lifted yet. The other thing that's happening in this country, let me know if it's happening where you are, is there is a huge, I want to say huge movement towards this, but actually I don't think it is. I think it's more the papers, the media, trying to find something to write about, but changing the 2 metre rule to a 1 metre rule because 2 metres just isn't enough. Really? It sounds like they're putting profit before safety at the moment. But yeah, that's rumbling on as well. So a lot more of the schools have gone back today. I think that's about it for what's been going on. We can't get over these people who are going shopping, rushing to the high streets as the stores reopen. And I'm just thinking, second wave. Because it's happening in China, isn't it? Only a matter of time. But what have we been doing today? I'm I'm with Kim. Kim and I should run the countries between us, definitely. Yeah. 2 metre rule should be 4 metre rule. Yeah. I'd lock them in their houses, Kim, and not let them out. And don't get me started on school meals, hey, Mike? Apparently, I have a very... Actually, you know, I don't know if it's a very unpopular view about free school meals, but we won't go there anyway. You missed that programme last night as well. I actually watched, wait for it, a TV programme on the BBC last night. That's incredibly unusual. But it was about the Salisbury poisonings. And it was very, very well done. Very impressed with that. If it comes on in the States, it's definitely worth a watch. And it's called The Salisbury Poisonings. I think it's a three-parter. So it's on again tonight at 9, and I think it finishes tomorrow. But some things of the BBC make are not good. But this one was actually very, very watchable. It was you won't have seen it, will you?
No.
It was... I'm assuming we all know about the Salisbury poisonings. It was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It was the Russians who came in to poison Sergei Skripal and his daughter. And it was the behind the scenes of that. But they'd taken a very interesting approach. They'd done it from the point of view of a lady who worked for the council. So of all the bodies that were involved, the police, the intelligence services, the government, the Cobra meetings... They ignored all of that and they went to this woman who worked for the council. And ultimately, it was her responsibility. It was very, very good. If it comes on, it's worth a look. Worth a look. Not often you'll hear me saying that, but that one was definitely worth a look.
Oh, can I delete those files?
Which files?
My files.
Let me just duplicate the... Synchronise the drive that it's on with a backup.
Right.
Yes, tell them how many files you had to delete, Mike. Tell them why.
Why do I have to delete them?
No, the state you're in. He's at a point...
I'm not in any state.
Yes, you are. He's at a point where he's on High Sierra and stuff's stopping working. So I said it's really simple. Just make an image and then put Mojave on. On account of the fact he never got Mojave, but I did. So I've given him a copy of Mojave to install. At which point he said, I can't make an image because there's... hundreds and hundreds of gigs worth of data on my hard drive that shouldn't be there. Naughty, naughty. So wait, tell them where you had it and how much there was. Gigs worth.
Gigs. Oh, 90 gig.
90 gig, see what I mean? Naughty, naughty boy. Yes, I put it in the marooned inbox. Right. No, I didn't. I put it in the after hours inbox. That'll be right. So let me check it's in there. Mike's recordings. So if I image that drive, then we'll have three copies of it and you can sort your stuff out. So right. There we go. I'm cloning as we speak.
Cool.
So when Kim was in grade school, to get a free meal, you had to work in the kitchen. The principal asked my mum for me to work in the kitchen as well, so there was no stigma attached with working. That's brilliant. That is brilliant. I was reminded of... was it the Japanese team in the World Cup? Was it Japan?
Don't know.
Oh, find out. The ones that... they got knocked out in the quarterfinals, I think. It could have been Korea. It was definitely out in the Middle East somewhere. Yeah. But basically what they did was they overreached themselves to get to the semi-finals. And we were all behind them. They were severe underdogs.
Oh, South Korea.
I think it was South Korea. And... they'd done brilliantly, but unfortunately they lost. So they goes in into the changing rooms. And this is the World Cup. These are the best players from that country in the world. And they tidied up. And I don't just mean tidied. They nuked the place. It was pristine. They put their own stuff away. They cleaned the walls, the floors, you name it. It was.
The fans did it as well.
They might have done, but the team did. And given the fact that they've got people for that, you know, they actually cleaned up themselves. They lost, but they actually put a sign in there that said, thank you for having us. It was amazing. And you just think of our spoilt brats. It does my head in. Does my head in, I must admit. To have those kind of values, I think, is wonderful. And we don't see much of that over here, Kim. Not at all, sadly. But that is a really good idea. There's lots of things the kids could do, but they seem to just want feeding, basically. And it annoys me. It annoys me immensely. I totally agree. That is how it should be. I think you would be teaching, you know, they are in a very strong position to influence. They are influencers. They've been influencers for years, which is why at the beginning of all this debacle, we were saying, like, well, maybe footballers should stop spitting, because kids follow them. They are in an amazing position to set a good example. But I must admit, I don't feel that ours do. Marcus Rashford, who plays for United, is getting a lot of positive publicity at the moment, in that he has raised funds during lockdown for disadvantaged kids, which is amazing.
He's raised 20 million quid.
Mm.
Should he not be knighted in that case?
Well, I'd rather he got it than David Beckham, who's an idiot. Yes, absolutely he should. He should. At least he's done something.
Well, old Tom made 28 million, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Yeah. Mind you, it's easier for him to make that than it was for Captain Tom. Because he's got the name and he's the one in the papers and everything.
True.
Hello, Simon! How are you doing? I think all players should be made to do that. When we went on tours at United from being about 14, 15 years of age, you'd get taken into the boot room. And it was a filthy room, obviously, because the boots were caked in mud. And the juniors were made to clean the boots as like a rite of passage, which, you know, okay. But why can't a player clean their own boots? I would. That's how razor blades get put in boots, to be honest, isn't it? And that's happened before today.
True.
Yeah, they should clean their own boots and clean up after themselves. You know, like regular human beings. Not these spoilt brats. Do you remember that video? The one where United had gone to an away match and they'd got like a camera following them, and then they released it as a video. And they didn't even order their own food, did they?
No. Sova Dole.
Dover Soul. Dover Soul, Mac.
Yeah.
They had the physiotherapist who was obviously looking after them physically, and he would go round and get their menus, and then he would go and order for them like they were helpless. So there was a bit in this video and he's at it, three Dover Soul and three this and five that. And I'm looking at it thinking, well, we'll see what I was thinking. But, you know, seriously, they can't even order for themselves. We weren't asking them to cook it. No, they couldn't even manage that. Mind you, maybe many of them couldn't read, just saying. But that's the kind of example you need setting. Not all the rioting and spoilt bratness that goes on. Can't be doing with it. Like Prince Harry, he could say, I'd like to make a charity to promote Macintosh in care homes. And before lunch, they'd have made millions. Exactly. Where is Prince Harry these days? Apparently, nearer you than us. No, he's in, he went to LA, didn't he? No, they moved from Canada.
Oh.
They went to Canada for a few weeks and then they moved to LA, which was where she wanted to be in the first place. But apparently, by all accounts, he's not happy. But whatever. Not sure Captain Tom thing could easily be repeated. Totally agree. Oh, I do remember the Million Dollar Pixel page. I do. I didn't fall for it. That was actually quite genius when you think about it, wasn't it? It was a million pixels on a page, and wasn't it a dollar a pixel? So if you were like McDonald's and you wanted to advertise on it, you could spend like, you know, £1,000 and you get 1,000 pixels kind of thing. And it worked. But nobody could copy that, because once it had been done, it had been done. How could anyone be happy living in LA? I've never been, but it's got this kind of tinsel thing going on. They were looking for a house, the last I heard, and she didn't want a gated community, which is not something I'm familiar with over here. Are you?
No.
I have seen odd ones. I think there's one in Bramall. But it's not a common thing. Anyway, they said they didn't want to be in a gated community. And you're thinking, he is, what is he in line to the throne now? Charlie, William, William's three kids, Harry, sixth. Sixth, I think. I think he's sixth in line to the throne. You need some kind of security. Don't be stupid. Although she was being touted around for jobs, wasn't she?
Mm.
Doing a voiceover for Disney, the last I heard. Lovely. Nice work if you can get it. But I'd rather be, it'd be too hot for me in LA, for a start. But I don't know with him. He was 12, wasn't he, when his mum died? And then he had William while he was at school. He was no great shakes at school. And then went straight into the army. So I don't think he's ever really lived a normal life. This is not going to end well, I fear. In fact, do you know what's quite surprising with that, actually? Do you remember when they said they were having two kids? They were only going to have two kids because it's not good for the planet. Well, they're getting on a bit. Where's the other one? That'll be the next saga, you know. And then it'll be, will he have to be born? Will they have to come back over here? Or will it take the nationality of the father? Oh, it'll be all over the papers. It'll be hideous. They've got a new charity, but it's not actually doing very well at the moment, is it? But then their timing seems to be off with absolutely everything they do. Who knows? While they're out there, they might go to WWDC. Who's going to WWDC in terms of watching the thing 24/7? Because this year, the whole thing is online. Starting next week. So this time next week, we will be deep into the middle of the WWDC keynote. And Mike will just be heading to a Catanian meeting. That's not good planning again, Mike. But hopefully, by then, we'll know the majority of what's coming. I don't understand why they moved to LA. Because she wanted to. It's her hometown. I think she wanted to be near her mother. Which I guess I can understand, but I thought they were doing a good job over here. It must just have been me, but then I don't read the papers. I was not aware of the level of abuse that allegedly was going on, I must admit. Whenever I saw her, she was doing good work. And I thought people were appreciating that. But maybe that was me. I don't know. She did that cookery book for the Grenfell Tower Fund. And again, she was very tactile, hugging people. And they absolutely adored her. So I must have totally missed the bit where there was a prejudice because I didn't see it. Simon thought Sussex Royal sounded like a potato. It's not the best, is it? It's not the best. But what I didn't like about that, I've mentioned it before, they took that name off a guy who'd had it registered for years. Sussex Royal was, what was the team? It was a football team and he lived in Sussex and the team, their nickname was the Royals. So he named himself Sussex Royal. And then he logged in one day and they'd just taken it. Not on.
I remember that.
Not on. With all the big castles to live in, they couldn't have a mother-in-law suite. I agree. I mean, that Frogmore Castle, when you say... Frogmore Castle. Frogmore Cottage, when you say cottage, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. Maybe she didn't like the weather. I don't know. Never having been there, I don't know what it was that she was missing. Was it the weather? Was it friends? Was it family? Because as I understood it, she lived in Canada anyway. Maybe she just wanted to carry on working, and I can understand that. I really don't understand this business of when either a politician's wife, when the politician becomes leader of the party, why she has to give up her job. I don't understand that. And it's the same if somebody marries into royalty. The only one who tried keeping on a job was Sophie Wessex. Sophie Rhys-Jones's was, and that didn't end well because they did the fake shake manoeuvre on her and she ended up going very quiet. I'm not actually sure what those two do, and that's Edward, Sophie and their kids, Louise and James. I have absolutely no idea what they do, but the Queen's quite fond of her at the moment. She's very in vogue. What have you got?
Nothing. I've just posted a link to that Sussex Royal fella.
Why don't you get nearer the microphone so we can actually hear what you're
saying?
I
just posted a link to that Sussex Royal fella.
I think that was off. That was very off. And if they're not going to use it, why don't they give it back? I don't think Instagram should have done that. I mean, it's first come, first served. I think that's incredibly rude. And look, it was only April last year. So they announced they were leaving in January. So all of that for about 8 months. Wasn't he then _ Sussex Royal? Or something like that. But, you know, engage with the guy. I think it's really off that. That's probably the kind of story that set people against her.
Yeah, it was _ Sussex Royal _.
Which you see in quite a lot of people's names, don't you? And it's obviously put there because they can't have the name that they want. But considering he had it, that's not on. That is not on. They could do far more good living in the UK. Here they're just another rich couple. Exactly. They could have done amazing, amazing things in the UK. Because she was absolutely loved. Even at the start of this, I think it was around the 1st or 2nd of March, they came back for their last official engagements. And she decided, which was taking a leaf out of Michelle Obama's book, to go to a school, a predominantly black school. I think it was in Hackney or out that way. And the school were just told that they'd got a special visitor. And somebody said, "Oh, it's not Meghan, is it?" And it's like, no, it's not Meghan. And the next minute, Meghan turns up. And she was fantastic. She was so accessible. It was a lovely feel-good story. And the kids were mesmerised. Absolutely mesmerised. The head boy went in for a kiss, a cheeky hug and a kiss. And she was fine with that at the beginning of this COVID thing. So I think they could have done, if they'd have just ridden it out a bit, I think they could have done wonderful things. And we probably wouldn't be in the mess we are with the Black Lives Matters in the UK if she was there with a voice. The problem is, you're back to the fact, oh, she's royalty now, she can't do this and she can't do that. Why not? Why can't she have... She closed down her blog and she closed down all her socials. Why? Why does she need to do that? That I don't understand. And people did say to her, you know, you'll live to regret this. You won't be able to have your own life. And I think that's her main problem, that she can't. That there is... It's not particularly the royal family. It's the royal household, who are basically Jobsworths, who are experts at royal history, that says, well, this has never been done before, so you can't do it. Why not? She should have just gone for it. The pair of them should. They could have been a nice anecdote to the rest of them. The Charles, when he's talking to the flowers. The things that Charles thinks are important, the rest of us look at and like, he's barking, leave him be. If the Queen can just carry on for about another 40 years until Charles, it would be too late for Charles to be king. That would be good for me. In fact, when the Queen was out with her birthday the other day, I'm like, well, you get that woman back inside. I'm not risking that we lose the Queen. She might be 94, but that's not the point. She 95 now.
I've no idea.
Because he's 99. He had his 99th birthday.
The Queen.
That's identity theft. It is, Simon.
94.
She's 94. Well, her mother lived to be 102, didn't she? 101, 102.
If you type the Queen age, you get about 2 billion results back. She's 94.
Thing is, with this identity theft, it's the fact that Instagram went with it. Just because they want something doesn't mean they should get it. They should get in line like everybody else. Meghan was in a great TV show I watched every episode. Was that Suits? I got introduced to Suits. It never came on standard UK TV. So I'm not sure when it was contemporaneously shown in this country with the US version, I don't know what channel it was on. I've got a sneaking suspicion it was on Netflix at some point. Because I got introduced to that by the priest. He's a huge fan. And he said, oh, I watch every episode of Suits. And I'm like, no, never seen it. And he's like, oh, but you'd love it because it's a law thing. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't have Netflix. You should get Netflix. And I'm like, Ned, no TV. Remember? No TV, no Netflix. I know you can watch it on the iPad, but I wanted to keep things clear. You know, so I didn't. But then when it came to an end, obviously then she became well known in the country and then they were talking about Suits. I did find it on Amazon Prime and I think I've watched the first three series. But I tend to binge watch for a bit and then don't touch it for like another 4 or 5 months and then go back. But I enjoyed what I saw so far. I loved it. I mean, I love legal dramas anyway. First one I really remember, apart from Rumpole of the Bailey, which is very British, was L.A. Law. And I must admit, Thursday nights it was on in the UK. Never missed an episode
of L.A. Law.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Such a good show.
Arnie Becker.
The only bit that made very little sense over here, and it came back to me the other day with this Black Lives Matters campaign, was around 1986... was 86, wasn't it? The Rodney King case in LA, they incorporated it into the programme. and one of the characters got embroiled in a riot and got injured. So you were kind of seeing this from both sides. You'd got characters like Jonathan Rawlins, who was black, and you were hearing it from his side. And then you were seeing what happened to, what was his name? Short guy. Something like Markovitch. He was Jewish. And he was married to his real wife in the programme, but I can't remember the characters' names. And you saw it from their side as well. But at the time, I must admit, we'd never seen anything like that over here. Although we had had riots, they were very limited and self-contained. Brixton riots, Liverpool riots, Toxteth. But it was like one day and it was over. And that
wasn't
was it.
Wasn't in Toxteth. It went on for weeks.
I don't remember that. Remember Brixton. And there had been odd flare-ups, but nothing like that. And it was kind of difficult to follow along with that, not being there. But yeah, I loved Suits. As I said, I think I'm up to series 3, possibly 4. I'll have to make sure it's still on Amazon Prime. Because Amazon Prime's quite weird. Do we get the Amazon Prime that you guys get? Amazon Prime TV.
Right, I'll take Lola out.
Is it cool enough yet? It's not good, is it? It's far too warm.
No, but she won't have a room for a birthday cake if she doesn't go out.
She's got a birthday cake, but don't tell her. She's not had it yet. She's having it later. We haven't had proper riots in the UK for ages. Oh, Simon. You sound like we're due some or we need some. If you watch it, you just need to watch from the first episode to get to what's really going on. That's a very good point with Suits, isn't it? Knowing his history. If you miss that first one, it must be really weird to try and follow it. It really must. Oh, that is so sad. That a store and was looted and they lost everything. That's the thing. It's the wrong people. You know, the people that need pushing in the right direction to help with equality are probably the politicians, and they're not the ones that are losing everything, so they don't care. I mean, this thing with Boris, I'll find you the photo, just in case you haven't seen it. Doubtless it'll be on the BBC News. No, I know what I can look up for. Yes, Lola. Oh, you meant. Let's try that. That was December. Okay. Right. Basically, what they've done is they have taken this Churchill monument and they have encased it in this sarcophagus for safety. Now, for the rest of this story to have any meaning or humour for you, you need to know that during the election campaign, which was November and December, Boris Johnson was up and out. He's a very good campaigner and he was up and out early delivering milk in the morning. So he was delivering milk and the cameras were following him. And one of, I think it was Piers Morgan from whatever it's called, Good Morning Britain or whatever it's called, went over live to him and they were asking him, you know, to answer questions. And he said, I'll be with you, I'll be with you. And he went and hid in a fridge, a huge, you know, man-sized fridge. So this sarcophagus that they've wrapped around Churchill, people are saying it's now Boris in a fridge, a monument to Boris in a fridge, which, to be honest, does actually look like it was chicken. It was. She's going out for a walk now. It's still boiling hot here. We don't like taking her out when it's that hot because she's already panting fit to bust. It's also her, how should we delicately word this, lady time. So she's over hot to start with. So we're trying to leave it until it got cooler, but I think this is about as cool as it's going to get. So we've decided to take her out now. She has eaten. So normally she goes out and then she eats, but she's eaten first. So we had her eating a little bit earlier so she could then have her ice cream and her cake. Why are they trying to destroy Churchill? Hello, Anthony. Your guess with that, Kim, is as good as ours. Basically, some people are saying that he was a racist. So what happened at the weekend was the riots that are happening in London, they're not one faction. They're about three. So you've got people who are supporting the Black Lives Matter campaign, and they would probably be fairly peaceful. But the second that they have their marches and whatever. The more right-wing brigade want theirs. So then they get involved. And when this statue was pulled down in Bristol, a third group of people appeared on the scene. The statue protectors. Now, the comical thing with them was, when they were asked by the press which statues they were protecting and why, they hadn't got a clue. But what happened on Saturday with Churchill was it was spray painted, there was graffiti on it. It was cleaned up on Sunday, I believe. And let's see if I can get a photo. Statue. Let's see if there's a picky. Yep, there you go. So it says 6 days ago. Yeah, they've actually put on it, Churchill was a racist. So that's what it looks like. That's not just the picture, that's the story. But the top picture was what happened. And you can see they've also taped something to him as well. I think that's another sign. So that entire statue now is encased in this sarcophagus. So let's see if I can find a picture of that. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing they did. Let's get that link. Actually, that was years ago. Oh, wow. It must be a thing with his statue. I'm trying to find the one, how it looks now, and I'm not seeing it. Okay. Let's try boarded up. There it is. That's what it looks like right now. So this one is a page, I think, from the Evening Standard. There's some pickies at the top of it, and you'll see exactly what they've done with it, which is it's totally boarded up. So if you click on that picture, that is the statue of Churchill inside there. So they didn't take it away, they've just boarded it up. But if you carry on through the pictures, you can see what they were doing with it. So they were washing the paint off, and then they built the thing around it. So it's actually inside there. There's an entire framework. So I don't think you're getting inside there very soon. But I don't know how long it'll be like that. That's just what they've done with it, which is very sad. Let's have a look. You can save the world and still be an outrageous racist. You can. And obviously he was a product of his time. It's like Lord Denning. Lord Denning was an amazing man and in some ways very progressive in the law. But he once gave a judgment and he found against a lady because she had red hair. Not even joking. That was in his judgment, that she had red hair. But, you know, it doesn't detract from the fact he had an amazing legal brain. And some of the things that he did were so progressive. They were amazing. But, you know, he had his quirks as well. In the US, the box would be tagged for sure. They've even, if you carry on through those pictures, picture six, they boarded the cenotaph up as well. I mean, the cenotaph is for those that died in the war. People went to war. They're not glorifying war. They went because they felt it was their duty. You know, I think that's awful. Absolutely awful. You can protest without doing things like that. Disgusting. I get so depressed and despondent with them. The minute you've got to board up the cenotaph, it's beyond a joke. That's what the Piddler said when they asked him which statue he was protecting. He didn't know. Piddler is now inside for 2 weeks. If only everybody who was urinating in public was put inside for 2 weeks, we'd be getting somewhere. I mean, not to get graphic, but seriously, somebody wheeze in a bush, you take your dog out, next minute your dog's licking your face. Just saying. Seriously, you do that in public, you should be locked away. There should be special places to put people like that. He seemed to be a bit lacking, apparently, but I don't know if that was just his defence, but that's what they were saying. But he was in court this morning. He's very sorry for his actions, and he only went along because other people were going. You know, the old would you jump off a cliff manoeuvre? And apparently the answer to that was yes. No, he had no idea what he was doing there. I mean, really? And he got put away for 2 weeks. He will have access to a toilet, and with a bit of luck, Anthony, he'll have to empty his own as well. You see, this is the kind of place they should have for those kind of people. That would work well. I reckon we're going to have a whole thing re-evaluating statues. Because they've kind of been there for years. And like I said with that one at Dunham, if you weren't with us at the beginning, I put a picture up of a statue at Dunham. Where is it? I think I've lost the page now. And I said to Mike, whoa, I think I can see, you know, why. There it is. Stately Holmes degrading statue removed. I have visited this place a million times. I've never noticed that. Mike said he had. I must admit, where it is, which you can see in the second photo, that's the bit of the garden where you're walking into where the deer are. And I must admit, I don't really take much notice. But it's gone, and, you know, looking at it, I'm not surprised. Although that's in an internal area of the building. And you can see underneath it actually says the statue had been in front of the Grade 1 listed Dunham Massey Hall near Altrincham. Spelt Altrincham. Pronounced Altrincham. But I hadn't noticed it. Honest to God, I hadn't noticed it. Which is terrible in a way. That something like that is in front of your face and I didn't even notice. I'm keeping my eye on the dog. The first time we went, I think we had Ollie and then Lola. So your eyes are all over the place, but not particularly looking at statues. But I'm not surprised that one's gone. For that to be there, what's the point? Is it a tribute to somebody? Is it for a reason? Or is it just a kind of ornament? Because if it's an ornament, the fact it's on its knees doesn't do them any favours. Anyway, it's long gone. Don't know what they're replacing it with. Do we need statues anymore? Because you can put a statue up to somebody today and then tomorrow find out something and then be tearing it down. But one thing that I'm reminded of with that, if you're in the UK, you will doubtless remember about the Jimmy Savile farce. He had the most intricate, huge headstone I have ever seen. It must have been the size of 5 or 6 standard headstones. And then, not long after he died, there was rumblings that he shouldn't be remembered as a nice person. Then everything came out and he was found to be the world's worst paedophile. And this headstone got removed. And I thought, well, where are they moving it to? Because, you know, it's massive. Apparently it was broken up and broken down into, you know, fragments of stone. What was the point in having it in the first place? Maybe we could move on from that. I don't know. Don't know what the answer is. So Simon says, it's the people who boarded up the cenotaph that are disgusting. It shows a complete misunderstanding of what people are protesting about. I guess they're thinking they've got to protect it, but is it, by them doing that, they're kind of setting the story, aren't they? There are people destroying the cenotaph. I don't know whether there were or not. I wasn't there. I don't know. I really don't know. The homeless piddle in the streets all the time. I guess they must do here, but you just don't see it as much. But it really is. I find that totally disgusting. I really do. I can't imagine walking around. I mean, it's bad enough when, like I'm saying, you're walking the dog and like, don't look over there. I mean, she's a dog. But in my head, it's like, don't look over there. It's disgusting. I find the only time I really see that a lot here is football matches. And it's as if the normal rules of social niceties do not apply at football matches. The first time I ever saw it, I was a lot less worried than my mother. I'd always wanted to go to Wembley. Wembley is the home of football, as far as I was concerned. And I'd always wanted to go to Wembley. And trying to get a ticket for a cup final, I mean, first of all, your team's got to get there to the final. And then you've got to try and get the ticket for it. Well, this particular year, I was 15 and Manchester United had got to the final of what was then the Milk Cup. It's the Tin Pot Cup. It's the League Cup. It's not the FA Cup. It's the second one. But they'd got there. And my dad's boss had managed to get some tickets. No questions asked. So we were going and we went down there. I think we travelled overnight and I fell asleep on the back seat. When I awoke, Mum and Dad were asleep in the front seat. And you know how when you are in a car and there's like people in there, but it's cold on the outside, the inside steams up. So I thought, oh, we must be there. So the car windows were steamed. So I reached over to the back window and wiped my hand across it. And Dad had parked, he must have known, with the car, the back of the car facing the Twin Towers of Wembley. So as I wiped to the back window, there we were at the Twin Towers of Wembley. Fabulous. Best parking in the house. But then it was about 5 a.m. So later on in the day, we had tickets for me and my dad to go in, but not Mum. But she said, I've got my book with me. And we were on the way to Dover for a holiday. So she said, I'll just read my book. Well, we gets back to the car and she, her face was white. And we said, what's the matter? And she went, they were just weeing up the wall. The thing was, I wish we'd have had cameras back then, because right next to where they were doing it, there was a sign that said toilet and it was there. They literally could not be bothered walking 2 feet to the right to go into the toilet. She said, I've never seen anything like it. Well, I was in fits because we'd gone in. And Mike's dad always tells a story about when he went to a football match. I do hope nobody's eating. And this was quite a common thing then. Somebody weed in his pocket. Anyway, me and my father are stood there. And I glances round and they were standing at the time. They've since taken standing away. And I looks over the wall. It was in the pens and the pens were separated by walls. And someone had just weed. And you could see it all running down the steps. My dad was disgusted. He really was disgusted. I said, Dad, it's fine, it's fine. No, we're fine where we are, Dad. Honest, Daddy. Anthony, honestly, that happened to him. And that was quite common. It was what people did. So you never wear a coat with pockets. Oh, you wonder why my dad worried about me at football matches. Bless him. Thing was, I used to stand at football matches then, and I was going from the age of about 13. And we were fine. It was Dad that got himself in trouble. Good job he didn't have a coat with a hood on. Oh, indeed. Or don't put, you know, your hoodie, don't wrap it around your waist. It'd be very handy at the back. Don't do that. No, Dad used to worry about me constantly. But the thing was, he'd get into more trouble than me. He would want to leave early. And every time he tried to leave early, there was a calamity. But where I decided that I was going to stand, I was right next to the managers. And when they put seats in, my seat was right next to the bench again. And the person who used to sit nearest to me was the physiotherapist. And I'd get talking to him. And I've always had this thing of, like, you know, if there was another Hillsborough moment. And he always said, you'd be over this wall. And then one day I'm sat there minding my own business. I didn't have a season ticket at this stage. You had to queue up and be the first person in the queue. And you would go in and you would ask for your seat by number. And I did that for a year. And this particular night, it was a night match. It was dark, so it was around November time. And I was so thankful. No, I'll tell you when it was. It was February, because it was cup match. And it was dark and it was cold. And I was 23 at the time. So, yeah, dark and cold and not really safe for a lady to be out on her own. But, so I'm sat there. Game had started. And this guy comes up and sits down in the seat next to me. So far, so good. Seat next to me was sold on a match-by-match basis, so I had a different person there all the time. Only he had his mate with him. And his mate held the ticket out and said, you know, this is my seat. And I looked at him and I said, I can assure you it's not. And obviously, I had bought my ticket from the Manchester United ticket office. I was the first one in the queue. You know, I was there at 5 o'clock to get this particular seat. And there was a group of about 8 to 10 of us who had seats very close to each other. They weren't next to each other. We kind of sat behind each other. So we were the row. Instead of being the row going right to left, our seats went top to bottom down the stand. And there was no way this guy had my seat. Trust me, I was there first. So I thought, well, I'm not getting my ticket out. But he was like, you're in my seat, you're in my seat. And of course, he stood there about 10 minutes into the match, standing in everybody else's way while he's trying to get me out of my seat. At which point, the physio turned around and said, what's going on? And I just looked at him and I went, snap. you know, I held my ticket to him, and he said, I said, snap. And he looked at this bloke and he went, away with you. She sits there every week, shift, go. Now, maybe this guy did have a ticket. Maybe they'd sold it twice, I don't know. But the guy didn't know what to do. Alex Ferguson used to sit next to the physio. So obviously he hears the physio telling this guy to do one. And he turns round and the physio must tell him what I'd said. And Alex Ferguson himself walks across and says, shift it, go. So the steward just takes this guy away. So I'd always felt incredibly safe at a football match, trust me. This guy ended up at the back of the stand because he had a ticket in his hand. Now, whether they had sold it twice, I don't know. I really don't know. But, you know, when the doors were open, that's when I went in. So not only was I at the front of the queue to get the ticket, but I didn't turn up 10 minutes into a match and expect to sit there either. I was there very early. But I think they looked at this guy's ticket and determined it may well have been genuine and that they did sell it twice. Because he ended up, they had to get a picnic chair and he sat with the steward at the back of the stand. But I bet he dines out on the tale of the day Alex Ferguson told him to do one. They probably thought I was related to Alex. I wasn't. But trust me, it was my seat. So I always felt safe. But my dad, no, he was always in a mad panic. And he usually got himself into a worse mess. He tried to leave one match early. And there was a sudden attack up the right wing. He jumped up, ready to see it, and hit his head on the safety barrier, which knocked his hat off one way and his glasses off the other. He then had to spend 10 minutes trying to retrieve them. Cost him a new pair of glasses. My mum went mad with him. She said, look, can you not just do what she does? And I just wait till everybody else has gone and then saunter out. But Dad, oh no, we got to leave early. We were still there trying to find half of his glasses. Oh, I've got a headache. Why have you got a headache? Is that listening to us? When you destroy your history, whether it's good or bad, you remove who you are, where you've come from and where you need to go, improve or change. You don't know how you are. I agree. Use it as a learning thing. But to be honest, when I see, and obviously I do as a school governor firsthand, how they teach children today, they really do emphasise. We have a whole thing going through education in the UK called British Values. And it does teach you, you know, don't be racist, don't be this, don't be that. I was actually thinking only today of when I was at school. And the only school I really enjoyed was my first one. So I was 5 years of age. And I was looking back and I was thinking, do you know, my best friends were black. I had two black girlfriends and a lad. And we hung about. And, you know, this was the early 70s. Racism was rife then, blatantly rife. And they were my mates. But I also had two friends who were from Poland. And another one from Grenada, and a girl who'd only just joined, and she'd joined the country from Spain. And we were fine. The kids were fine. Where all this racism and intolerance comes from, I don't know, because the kids were absolutely fine. Similar stories about MotoGP or Silverstone. I know a guy who goes there, or did do, every year. And they really make a do of it, don't they? I think he went 2 days before the actual race, as do a lot of other people, and they camp out there. Sounds like a grand day out, but I'm not sure. I made the mistake once of going to Haydock Park for some horse racing. Never, ever, ever, ever again. Never. You don't have to apologise for your views, Simon. Not a problem at all. Your views are your views. Like I said with the one at Dunham, I hadn't even noticed it. But now I've looked at it, it's not the prettiest thing to look at, is it? So maybe time to lose it. Each to their own. Each to their own. But if we could just have a sensible discussion about it, rather than it turn into the riots where people are getting hurt. I thought the most wonderful picture was that black guy who helped the white guy out, who probably didn't know what he was there for anyway. So they're only seated on a Sunday, but people insist on their seats. Oh, good grief, that sounds like Gawsworth. Galsworth is the stately home that they open up in the summer. They do weddings, they do a car show, they do some outdoor theatre, and they do the concerts that we go to. So we'd booked this year for the 80s Fest, we'd booked for Queen, and we'd booked for ABBA. And these would all be outdoor, and it's unallocated seating. So they have this huge stand, it probably holds about 500. And obviously you want the best seats. So the first year, I don't think we had a clue what was going on. But we got some fairly decent seats anyway. But after the first year, we did know what was going on. So we said, well, what we need to do is get down there early. And obviously, we were taking all of the Catanians with us. So we wanted to get some good seats for the Catanians. So we travelled down there about, probably left here about 12:30. Probably takes about 40 minutes to get there. The doors open at 2:00. But what they actually do to make it fair, I guess. If you turn up and you're in that queue, you're the front of that queue, but you're in your 60s. And you've got your picnic basket with you. And the person 20th in the queue is 20 with a pair of Air Jordans on. And, you know, you're going to be left for dead when it comes to get those seats. But the guy that owns the place comes out and he does this amazing speech every time there's an event. We're going to head across there in an orderly fashion. You will get the seats in the order you have queued. You will listen to me or you will be shown the door. You know, and the little old granny at the front of the queue, she gets the pick of the seats. I think we were about five or sixth in the queue. And we dived in, you know, we got front row seats in the middle. So we were quite happy with the seats we've got. But yeah, people get very possessive with their seats, don't we? Once United made a mistake. I've no idea how this happened. It could have been the Cup Winners' Cup final. There was something weird about the Cup Winners' Cup final that year. Super League Cup final, I think it was. Basically, if you'd won one of the Europeans and somebody else had won one of the Europeans, you played off for the Super Cup and the stand was closed. So technically, you couldn't get your seat, but they knew there'd be a riot if us 10 didn't get our seats. So they sold us our seats. Another one, they sent the tickets out and they made a mistake. So we all got the right ticket for somebody, just not necessarily you. So I pitched up to find I'd got the seat that belonged to a guy called Barry. And I found that Barry's dad had got my seat and Chris had Barry's seat. Oh, it was confusing. And we gave each other the daggers, you know. And then we realised it was a mistake on the part of the ticket office. So we all just moved. Never happened again. We had words with the ticket office and it never happened again. And the following year, we got a season ticket, which solved the problem completely. Rushing the queue, not very polite. No, the thing was, this guy is amazing. I think he's called Rupert. His family have owned this stately home for years. And obviously to pay for the upkeep on it, because it's massive. They have to do something. And this business that they've created, they've built this business up from nothing where they do these concerts. But it must be quite a demanding thing to do. And they don't have any help. The family do it. Now, this guy himself must be in his late 50s. And they sell all of the tickets. So when you order your tickets, they send them out to you straight away. The numbers on the tickets are handwritten. The envelopes are handwritten. The stamps are put on by hand. It's amazing. It's like stepping back in time. So they do a really, really good job with it. And they have to do all of the contracts with the artists as well and stuff like that. And on the night, when you pitch up, it's an all-day thing. So it opens at 2 o'clock. Concerts usually start somewhere between sort of 7:30 and 8. And the grounds that they have, they let you pitch your gazebos. And if the weather's good, you know, you sit there and you have a picnic, as you will have seen the picnic from last year when the lady took the candelabra, because she'd seen somebody the year before with a candelabra. So it's a really, really good day. And you can leave your gazebo in the grounds, you can go into the concert, and then when you come out afterwards, you can have another drink and then head off home. So it's a really, really good day. But not only does he greet the people in the queue and tell them how it's going to be, you know, that no one's going to go out of line, But just before the concert starts, he comes on and he introduces the act, whoever it is. So we've done ABBA, we've done Queen, and there's the 80s one where there's more than one group, but it's all 80s music. And he comes out and he does a really good Welcome to Gawsworth speech. And he has this bit where he says, and we've got the St. John's Ambulance. Now, St. John's Ambulance is... It's a private thing and they need to be paid, but basically they are first aid. They're first aiders. So he said, we've got St. John's Ambulance here. You know, if you have had a rather good day and possibly may have an attack of the collie wobbles. What he means is off your face, blind drunk. But he calls it the collie wobbles. He gets a laugh every time. And, you know, I've heard it a million times and I still laugh because it's just the way he says it. It is a really, really good day out. And there are kids there aged probably about 7 and upwards and people in the 90s. Last year when we did Queen, oh, it was fantastic. There was a school locally and I think they'd given them, it was either a school or a home, a kind of residential centre for people with Down syndrome. And they brought the kids that night. And two of them in particular were huge Freddie fans and they'd got the outfit on like Mike had and they were dashing down to the front and dancing away and the guy who was being Freddie was really, really playing along with it. So when he decided, Freddie, that he was coming up into the stand, these kids were following behind and it was like watching three little Freddies. And he stopped in front of the group from the residential centre so they could get photos and stuff of their two folk with him. And there he is with the flag and these two kids. They had an absolute ball. It's just a really feel-good thing. I mean, these raves that are on now where people are getting raped, molested, stabbed, drug overdose. No, it's nothing like that. It's just a really good feel-good day. And it's such a shame, you know, that this year can't do that. Mike spoke to him. I think we mentioned it. We got these tickets that we'd been billed everything. And Mike was checking the credit card. And he noticed that we'd had a refund. And he said, they've refunded those tickets. And I said, which one? And he said, all of them. And I went, oh, no, because you were hoping by August, maybe, and you might get one in. So he rings the guy up because we hadn't had any notification. All we'd had was a refund. So the person who actually answered the phone was the guy who owned the place. So Mike said, you know, I've just noticed we booked for this, this and this. And the guy was like, oh, you booked for all of that. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you. He was so, so gracious. And we were just like, well, we booked because we like it. We like the day out. And he explained that although it wasn't actually officially cancelled because they were still in legal negotiations with the contract, there was no way it could happen because they just could not do the 2 metre thing. So he said, we decided we'd start working on the refunds because obviously they've probably got 60 to 80 events, maybe more. Maybe around the 80 mark, I would guess, but maybe more than that. And they'd got to do refunds for sort of 2,000 people for each event. So he said, we thought we'd get started on the refunds. He said, so no, we've not put anything on the website yet because we need the legal thing. But between you and me, it's not happening. So we've done a refund. And it's him and his mother doing the refunds. She must be 90 if she's a day. And they started doing that probably about 2 months ago now. So we said, like, you know, you're not like giving it up forever, though, are you? You're thinking of doing it next year. And he said, oh, you know, hopefully we will be back next year. And we said, like, send us the brochure. You know, we'll be coming back. But such a lovely, lovely atmosphere to go to. It is a lot of work. I mean, you think there's just the two of them. I mean, there's the family. So I think he's married and I think that he's got kids. But it's such a lot of work. And obviously this year there will be no income from that whatsoever. So I hope they've got some kind of, you know, business insurance for that. But it's also their home, so I don't really know how that would work. But it's such a shame because it's a lovely, lovely event. It's not like sometimes you go to an event. We went to an ABBA concert in Manchester. We've done this concert twice. And the first time, oh, we were right at the front. We got some fantastic photos and I really enjoyed it. But I'd put on these shoes that were comfortable to stand in for that long. They were like rubber soled. Which was fine, only people had spilt beer all over the floor and I was stuck to the floor. Literally, you'd be like, I think I'll dance a bit. And you'd have to pull your foot off the floor. There's none of that at this place. Although people have had a drink and they can take a drink into the stand as well if they want, there's none of the scrapping that seems to go on elsewhere. It's just a really lovely event. And it's such a shame, you know, that not only do we not get to go to it this year, but that they are then down on basically an entire year's funding. They can't furlough the staff. They live there. So I don't know if they're getting any help from the government either. Hopefully they will, and hopefully it will be back next year. But it's a really, really lovely event. I'll do some video if it's back next year. I will. Hopefully Lola's on her way back. We've got a cake to sort out and her presents. But she's actually been a bit of a naughty girl today and ripped the foot off a dragon. But we're not talking about it with it being her birthday. This dragon, it was a green dragon I bought her and she didn't want to know. She was not interested. And then all of a sudden she was, and she's really taken to it. But I noticed today she's kind of ripped the throat out of it and the foot fell off. Well, she'd say the foot fell off. I'd say she ripped the foot off, but she'd say the foot fell off. But however you look at it, it now only has one foot. Well, actually, no, I think it's got three. I think it had four to start with. In which case, it's now got three. But busy week this week as well. With it being WWDC, got to keep our eye out on what we're hoping for this week. Because this time next week, we'll know. We're doing a lot of stuff next week, so keep your eye out. We've been deciding today what we're actually going to do. So we'll share that in the next couple of days once we've finalised it. But hopefully you will all be able to join us for the WWDC coverage. You wouldn't want to miss it. Have you all done WWDC before with us? Or maybe not? I reckon some of you will have done and some of you won't. Oh, we usually have an absolute ball. With WWDC, do we need to download their app to see it? The way that it works with their app is they put the schedule in the app and then from within the app, you tap to watch it. Now, they probably will put it on the website as well. What I don't know is whether you have to have a developer account to get in there or not. I do have a developer account, but I'm pretty sure it's a free developer account. So probably the app is your best way in. But you may be able to get through it to it through the WWDC portal as well. Clumsy Ninja and Illuminated Backside Moments. Oh, yes. And don't forget the tent pole presentation, Simon. That was the iPhone 4S, I do believe. Tent poles. They sent you a link with email. Then you'll be an email with link, rather. You'll be OK. The first one on Monday night will be just on their website. It will just be open to all. In fact, the link may have been there. You didn't hear the tent pole. The tent pole presentation. I'll find the link, Simon. That was one of my favourites. Because every time he said it, I looked at Mike and went, tent pole? Tent pole? And I just got more incredulous with each tent pole. Basically, I think it was the core of you know, like a 4-point plan, only he called it his tent poles. And we're just looking at each other like, must have been on acid. Can you explain? Can I explain a tent pole? It's like a pillar, a core part of what they were saying. But what got me was all the tech journalists just started saying, oh, yes, yes. And then they moved on to the second tent pole. And I'm like, tent pole's not a thing. Normal people do not say, I'll now move on to my second tent pole. But they didn't question Apple at all. It's a classic. In fact, that's worthy, Simon, of a post-it note. I am putting tent pole on a post-it note here. And I may have to explain why my post-it notes may be a thing of the past. Ooh, what has she done? She spent an obscene amount of money. That's what she's done. But more about that down the line. Right, what was I looking up? I was looking up the actual URL. Let's see if I can find it. Although this has still got the old one, I think you'll find on Monday it will be broadcast on that URL, which is Apple Events. It'll also be on your Apple TV if you've got one. Now, what we used to do was we used to do it privately in Connect, and we used to relay the visuals. But we took a straw poll a couple of events ago, and people didn't really need that these days. So we intend to do it on Bytes FM, which means we either have total silence for the keynote or you get our alternative commentary, which is basically me going, really? Really? Which may entertain some of you. Other than that, you just shut us up. We carry on the chat in the text chat and then we come back afterwards. So rough plan so far, don't quote us, is to move Marooned to 4 o'clock, which is 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern. And then at 5 o'clock our time, so basically an hour later, we'll go straight into the MacBytes Live event. We do slightly different things in a MacBytes Live than a Marooned. And then we'll have Apple on Live at 6 o'clock. That's the provisional plan. Provisional. We can add tent pole and boom. Oh, Simon, we are going to have a WWDC bingo card. We are. Shouldn't really be announcing that without Mike, but he's just back in, so I'll tell him he was here. Yes, we're going to do the MacBytes Magical WWDC bingo card, which will include tent pole, illuminated backside, because they do keep using that one, nits, don't forget the nits, it's got X number of nits, magical, we can include magical, and do you know the other one that I'm going to put in this year? Super excited. I am super excited to share with you. Or I'm super excited, ... fill in the blank. Because, you know, it doesn't matter whether they're turning a light bulb on. They're super excited about it. The developer app would be used mainly for the subsequent sessions, Kim. Once they've done their keynote in the morning, which is the big event of the entire week, they do go into what they call a State of the Union. And then they do some technical presentations. And you will access all of those through the developer app. Simon's made some fabulous suggestions here for the bingo cards. Magical. And boom. Oh, what about one more thing? Do you think there'll be a one more thing this time?
No.
No, maybe not. But one more thing used to be a thing, so we've got to include it.
How about you too?
Oh, I hope not. Not after the last debacle. Yeah, I think I downloaded that app, but I've not actually been into it. So that will come into its own for the rest of the week. Sometimes they do more customer-focused sessions, something like getting the best out of Pages or something. But many, many of the sessions are incredibly deep developer dives on how-tos. If, as is expected, they intend to announce ARM chips, I would expect many of the sessions to be about getting the best for developers from ARM chips, which I can't see me sitting through, to be honest with you. But we'll see how it goes. But that's the plan. So more on our plan for WWDC tomorrow. But we'll see how it goes. So you're back then, are you?
Yeah.
You look a little bit cream crackered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still warm.
It is still warm, although I've just felt a breeze. I think you could have gone about 30 minutes too soon.
I felt a spot of rain.
Only the one?
Well, only the one.
Yeah, that's how it's been, unfortunately.
I did knock on somebody's door, walk back and tell them they'd left the lights on though on the car.
That was very good of you.
Yes.
You washed your hands since?
Well, I didn't touch the car.
You knocked on the glass. It's our fastest, most recyclable, finished, high resolution iPhone, iPad, iPad Pro, screen processor ever. Anthony, I've got that. I will add that in. I'm going to enjoy making these bingo cards. That might make it to a demo because we had the most amazing system and it was fabulous. And Apple broke it. Then I wasn't a happy bunny. So we'll see. We will see with that. But for the moment, we're going to celebrate Lola's birthday. So thank you for being with us. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow, when I think we'll start with our speculation and pontification about what we'd like to see, what we hope to see, what we will see, and what we think we won't see from WWDC. Because the news this week is just going to be saturated with it. So let's work our way through it and formulate our plan for the weekend. Thank you, Kim. She's had an amazing day so far. I've got a lovely picture of her. Thank you. I will pass on all of these birthday messages for the lovely lass. who's down there recovering from her walk. But once she's got her breath back, it's cake time. Not only has she got cake, she's got ice cream as well. Oh, she's a spoiled dog. But so worth it. Five today.
Five today.
Yeah, and remember, you saw her when she was only about...
3 months.
3 months old. Oh! Anyway, that's where we're heading. So I hope you have a fantastic rest of the day, and we'll see you tomorrow. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
Stay safe, guys.